this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good evening, everyone. It is awesome to have all of you here. My name is Christy. And a special welcome to all of our guests here tonight. I saw a couple of hands go up. Just to make sure that if you are here for the very first time, did all of you receive a welcoming pack from us? If not, why don't you just quickly slip up your hand for us again? All of you, you've got one. It's awesome. Thank you so much. It's so great to see all of you here tonight. It is a bit hot, but you know what? I personally love the heat, so that is great. In winter, you guys will smile again, and I'll look all depressed like some of you. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Let's pray together before we start off with the word. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, and your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Lord, I bring myself before you tonight, Father. I pray that you would use every word that departs from my mouth, Father God, to bring life. And it will bring glory to your name, Father, because my prayer tonight is, Father God, that through everything that happens tonight, Father, we would know you more, Lord. More than what we've known you as we walked in you, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you would come and soften hearts, Lord. And that you would guide so carefully every word that I speak tonight, Father God, so it will land on every person's ear and every person's heart, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would adapt all the words to bring the message, Lord, that you want to tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Finished. Thank you. I've got a short testimony clip just to share with you guys. But before I do that, does anyone know a guy called Brian Welch? Awesome. He's also known as Head. And if you do not know him, perhaps you've heard of the band called Korn. Great stuff. Well, if you know him, then you might be shocked that I've got a testimony to share of him. But in either case, let's turn our eyes to the screens for a couple of moments and just listen to what he has to say. Hallelujah. Just like Brian, not too long ago, I was sitting and struggling with the same questions. You know, is God real? How do you speak to God? How do you listen? How does he speak back? Does his voice come through the ceiling? Does he use people? Is what the Bible says, you know, is it true? I've been going to church. My parents took me to church my entire life. When I was younger, they took me to church, and I never experienced the realness of God, a relationship with God there. Personally, it was just the best place for me to go take a nap. So there was nothing real for me about church, about God, about Jesus. And just like Brian, I had a stack load of questions about, you know, this faith thing and how it works. To make a long story short, when I was 15, God drew me closer to him and just gave me this urge to visit a new church. I went there, and there I had this meeting with God for the first time in my life. So I got saved for the first real time in my life. And I got baptized when I was 16, and everything just started to happen. Everything started to make more sense. God became real to me. He started to speak to me. The Bible started to become really interesting to me. It was like alive to me. But it wasn't long before I just dived right back into my previous life, my previous friends, and my old habits, and all of those things. So now with all this new knowledge, even knowing that God is actually real, practically nothing changed in my life. So I still looked the same. I still sounded the same to what I did before I met Christ. And then a couple of years went on, and I ended up being in the hospital for a couple of months, being really sick, and just through rebellion and a bunch of stuff. But I was at a place where physically and mentally and especially spiritually, there was absolutely nothing left of me. As I just decided, you know, I want nothing to do with God and all of those things. So there was just absolutely nothing left. For months, I just prayed, Lord, to take my life. And he didn't do that. Until I, at this point of desperation, really as my last option, I just again reached out to God on my hospital bed. And then within an instant, I had this very, very real meeting with Jesus where he was right next to me. And he led me to repent about a lot of things. But apart from what he told me, what was going on in my life, the first reaction, the first response that Jesus gave me as I cried out to him is he just accepted me immediately. He just loved me immediately. I had absolutely nothing to offer him, not, like really nothing, physically, emotionally, nothing to offer God. I wasn't able to boast about anything or what I achieved. I had nothing. God just accepted me nonetheless. So God and I spoke and I got healed and I was released from the hospital. And from there, my relationship just grew with Christ and still does every single day. But what stood out for me in that moment is just Christ's unconditional love for me in that moment, that although months have passed where I've made a decision to walk away from him, he never stopped pursuing me. He never left me alone. And he was with me in every second of all of that. And in that moment, not only did God give me my health back, and restored a relationship, is he set me free from a lot of things. Some things I understand, some things I do not understand, some things I can't even pronounce. But he set me free from a lot of stuff. And that I realized and I recognized and I saw at that very moment we had this encounter. So not only does Jesus come into our lives when we allow him to reconcile us with him, but immediately he sets us free. Now I might ask, but what is it? Why do we need to be set free? What is it that we need to be set free of? And if we continue, I want us to read together out of a portion of Scripture from John 8, verse 31. And it says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever.'" So yet Jesus clearly identifies, and that's as Paul and John writes in the Bible when we read about it, that whatever we follow, we are slaves to. So if we sin, we slaves to sin. Just the same, we can be slaves to unrighteousness. We can be slaves to the devil. We can be slaves to whatever it is we follow. And in the same way, Scripture teaches us that we can become slaves to righteousness. We can be, Paul himself wrote, "I'm a slave to Christ." And to be clear, it's not in the sense that, you know, he gets whipped if he doesn't do what God commands him to do. He doesn't get paid, but it's just as he follows Christ. That makes him a slave to Christ. But I want us to spend a bit of time around this thing, that what is it that Christ sets us free from? And how does that look? How does it change our lives practically? And what is it that God actually requires of us? You see, we just read in John 8 that the truth will set us free. I don't know if you know, but Jesus himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So truth is not a knowledge thing that we need to know. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. So the only way we can be set free is through the truth, which is Jesus. So Jesus, speaks to the Jews. And he says, listen, you guys need to be set free. And the only way for that to happen is through me. In the same way, myself on the hospital bed, I needed to be set free for myself. And the only way for that to could have happened is through Jesus that was right there with me. I tried, trust me, I tried various methods, various ways, to my own despair, to set myself free, to save myself out of the situation. I guarantee you that it didn't take very long for me just to opt to the death option. Because there was absolutely no comparison or no second best to what Jesus has done. And when I was lying on the bed, I definitely didn't expect God to forgive me, to accept me. And I especially didn't believe that I was worthy of anything or that I had something coming to me because I am Christian or because I am whatever. And what I've learned just through knowing God, you know, none of us, neither one of us sitting here in this place are worthy of God. We are worthy of His presence. And that's what makes everything so amazing is God gives everything. He already gave everything for us because of the way He loves us. So none of us are worthy, and it is only through, not our faith, it is through grace alone that we have been saved, and God has created this way for us to enter into relationship with Him. Galatians 4, from verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I went to visit my mother's house over the past December holidays. It's always great to go, you know, to a place. It feels home. It's always great to go home. I try to go as often as I can. It doesn't happen as often as I want it to happen. So I try to make full use of it. But one of the first things, if not the first thing, after I greet my mother, is I walk straight to the kitchen and open the fridge. That's the first thing that I do. And I'm just in awe. Because you see our fridge here now. We had like a small party slash thing on Thursday night, and everyone just brought cakes. We've got lots of cake in our fridge at the moment. But generally, it's just like cheese and milk there, right? Nothing glamorous. So I like to go to my mother's home and open the fridge. And I don't even have to eat anything. I just stand in amazement of it and I enjoy it. And I can do that. I can literally eat everything. And my mother would just love me more. I can walk into the garage, take my mother's car, go wherever I want to go. I can jump on a bed. I can put the TV on. Full access, right? Because I'm a son. It's my home just as much as it is hers. And I have this complete freedom just to do that. And you know what? It's nothing different than what it is with God. As we just read together, God has given us His Son's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit inside of us. But how can you say, how do we have the Holy Spirit? If we read in Acts, it speaks about what the early church has done and how things worked. And with the early church, the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit was poured out onto all flesh, right? So the Holy Spirit was poured out onto all flesh. And with the Holy Spirit comes this thing inside of us that cries out, Abba, Father. Cries out. What does Abba, Father mean? It means nothing less than Daddy. Daddy God. It is an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. So the same way I have complete boldness and freedom to go into my mother's home, whether she's there or not, just to open the fridge and to eat. The same way God gives us access to Him. He didn't come to us and say, listen, I'm going to give you my everything, but there's limitations to how I want to know you. Some people want to know more, but some people want to know less. You're my favorite child. You're not as much. He gave us complete access, every single one of us, to who He is, to His entirety, to His throne room. Yes, there's a reverence. Yes, there's a respect. The same as what we have with our parents, but this is a complete openness and a complete accessibility to His heart and to know His desires as much as He wants to know ours. And as I prayed earlier, whether it is your 30th time sitting here or it is your first time in visiting us, you know what? You are right in this place because God is drawing you closer. He's drawing you in to know Him more. You can only come to the Father except through Jesus. So through the Holy Spirit, He's just been drawing us closer to who our Father is. And He's as much right now here with us as He is with you every single day where you are doing whatever you are doing. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit is throughout your day setting up multiple meetings for you just to open your eyes or just to respond to where God is in the moment and to accept Him in and to invite Him into making part of your lives. And this is a very important thing to understand and to grasp. But with the same breath, I say that it is also a very difficult thing to understand and to grasp. Because what God says is He calls us to be His sons, His daughters, His children. God calls us to be His children. So how are we children of God? How does it look? How does it work? How do we understand it? And I try to pray in my spirit as much as I can. And even though I do it as much as I try to do, I have no cooking clue of what I'm saying in my brain. But I can see the fruit of it. I've saved my own life a couple of times by it. I can feel it strengthening my relationship with God. So the effects and the manifestation of it is in my life, but I have no idea how it works or what I'm saying. In the same way, I believe sonship is as well with God. It is difficult to understand. I know, especially with guys, how do we accept our Christ as the lover of our souls? You know, I'm a guy, He's a guy, it's weird. How does it work? I don't understand it. And we need to be honest. Am I the only one thinking about this? How do I make my Father, you know, the lover of my soul? Practically, it's weird. But everything inside of me through the Spirit just agrees and yearns and longs for it. And with this Holy Spirit place inside of us crying out, Daddy, crying out, Abba, Father, it is this thing placed inside of us that causes us, we want to be accepted. We want to be loved. Is there anyone here that does not want to be loved? Is there anyone that doesn't want to be accepted? And that's awesome, right? It is nothing to feel ashamed about, nothing to feel bad about. But the thing is, what we do is we go look for acceptance and we go look for love in all the wrong, at all the wrong places. We go look for it in a club, in booze, in pornography, in really weird relationships. Some are good. But we try to be accepted and loved for all the things that that is around us trying to please us and to make us feel good and to puff us up with it. And again, there's nothing wrong to feel loved. There's nothing wrong to want to be accepted because God placed a desire inside of us. The same as with most of us, we have a desire to have sex, right? Is there anyone that doesn't have? It's not a bad desire to have because God has given us that desire. Yes, Paul says that there are a select few people that know they don't need to marry, and that is great. But we have the desire placed in us by God. But the same way we can make it a worship unto God, very special, very anointed, the way it was meant to happen in covenant, or we can just make something really ugly / the Hollywood version of it with a bunch of different people outside of covenant. And the same way we look for acceptance and love in places, we can do it the right way or we can do it the wrong way. You see, if we choose God to fulfill those desires He has placed inside of us, it will cause us to never look for it in a different place again. Because nothing can satisfy like the presence of God. For those of us who have experienced it, I'm sure you would agree with me as well. Who agrees with me? That God's presence satisfies us. I'm finished talking about sex now, don't worry. Hallelujah. So about a quarter of you agree with me that God's presence, the rest, we are definitely going to pray for you. Guaranteed, the prayer is coming. Hallelujah. So it's only God that satisfies, God that fills us, God that... The great thing about a relationship is God has already made himself vulnerable and given everything right up front, done. And he actually calls us just to respond to it. I mean, he came, lived among us, was tested exactly how we can possibly test it. Then he hung completely naked on a cross, beaten and bruised, arms stretched out wide, completely exposed, completely vulnerable. For what? For relationship. With us. So he's already he's done everything. And all that he wants from us is to respond to him. In a great practical way, most of you know I'm getting married to Melody soon, in 7 weeks and I think 5 days. Praise the Lord. But man, was it challenging to get to know her. I'm a type of guy, I'm really, really reserved about what I think and what I feel and all of those things. So for me to share that, you need to kind of be someone special in my life, right? So Melody became more and more special, and it was for me a challenge to start sharing those things with her. I actually had to make the conscious decision, okay, I'm going to get over myself right now. I'm just full of nonsense. In order for us to grow more intimate and to get to know one another more, the correct intimate, just by the way, I have to expose my heart a little bit more. I need to get over being reserved. I need to get over my fear of being vulnerable to her. And as I started doing it, so we got to know one another better, and we are getting married. And I think, and I believe, actually I know, we are not where we want to be with God, not because it's God's fault, but because it's our fault. Each and every one of us sitting here, we are different places with our Heavenly Father. Some of us have never even yet made the decision to get to know Him. Some of us are waiting for an angel to appear or a cloud to appear with God speaking through it, saying that I am alive, I am real, here I am. You know what? God has already shown himself, he's already exposed himself, he's already made himself vulnerable for all of us. And all that he wants is just to say, you know what, Lord, I choose you. I choose to be in a relationship with you. And if we have done that, then perhaps the reason why we feel we are not growing closer to him or knowing him better and better is because we are afraid to get to know Christ better. I'm speaking out of my personal life. Just as I was afraid to share who I am with Melody. It's difficult to be honest. Let's think about it. How many times do we talk with God just for the sake of talking with him on autopilot? But how many times are we really actually honest? Who of us stood in worship today and was like, Lord, it's really hot, I'm really hungry, I'm thirsty, it sucks right now. I really don't want to be here, actually. But God, I'm going to make the decision to worship you even though I don't want to. Lord, I choose the decision. How many of us said that to God, or how many of us was just like, Lord, you know what, I will worship you. There's a slight difference in how we communicate with someone we really know well, versus to someone you don't. And that determines your intimacy with the person. You would agree with me, right? It's how you communicate with them and how you start to speak about them. Just as I know many things about Melody and she of me, she wouldn't have known it if we didn't communicate openly. The same way I don't know things about God if he didn't communicate it to me. Yes, the Bible reveals who God is, But through the Holy Spirit, we get to know God in a very special way, in a very intimate way. And we need to get over ourselves, over our fears, over our unworthiness to get to the place of God. Because newsflash, Jesus is not going to come again and die on the cross again. He's not going to prove himself. He doesn't need to prove himself to us again. He's done it. He's given. That's what, you know what, there's millions of gods out there who people follow. But apart from Jesus being alive and others not, what makes him different to the others is every other god just requires a bunch of stuff from us. Jesus has given us everything. He's just like, I just want you to respond. Just acknowledge me as your Lord and your Savior. I just want to know you. We will sort out the rest as we go. And that is what I talk about a bit. How does it look like when we make the decision to follow Christ? Some of us are on the verge of making the decision in our own lives. And I've been praying for you to make the decision right here, right now, tonight. But as we go on, so how does it look like when we decide to follow Christ? What is the fine print of the contract? You know, it sounds too good to be true, right? God giving us everything and just accepting nothing in return. You know, we just need to say, Lord, here I am, I choose you. Finally, Lord, I choose you. What? It sounds too good to be true. What is the fine print? And the first thing I want to talk about is God doesn't work with contracts. Why do we enter into contracts with one another if we have lease agreements or cars or all those things? Is, you know, the main reason I believe behind it is because we actually don't trust one another, and it is for our own security. So it's selfish reasons actually we go into contracts to save your behind in case of the other person not fulfilling the end of the bargain. So God doesn't work with contracts. God only works with relationship. So there's no fine print to this clause. There's no, my Bible's letters are quite small. There's not smaller letters in code there somewhere that we need to find to, you know, not to be caught out. But God is truly just saying, I want to know you. If you don't believe me, you can go right back to the beginning. If you believe that God made the universe, he also made man, Adam and Eve. And the only reason he made them is to know them, to walk with them in the garden. Right? So it was for a relationship, to walk with them in the garden. That is the same that God wants from us as now. So he wants to know us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to be with us. But what makes this different from a contract and expectations is this is sort of like magic, like good magic. Let's remove magic, okay? It's awesome. But as we start to enter into a relationship with Christ and we get to know him better, right? We start to change. Our very nature starts to change because the only way in which we can get closer to God is to become more holy. In case you didn't know, it's not just the Holy Bible, but it's the Holy God as well. He's holy. There's no sin in him whatsoever. So light and darkness, they don't coincide. Holiness and sinfulness doesn't coincide. So for us to draw closer to him, we need to be more holy. But now you say, aha, there it is. I need to like stop smoking and drinking and eating fatty foods and all those things in order to know Christ. No, you don't need to do that as a contract base. But those things, God starts to draw you away from it as you get closer to it. Because the same way that I know certain things Melody doesn't like it if I do it, I stop doing it because she doesn't like me doing it. The same way we start to learn the things that God loves and hates, we stop doing it for the sake of the relationship. Right? So, as we draw close with God in relationship, we start to change who we are. He doesn't stand in front of us. It's not God is not standing here tonight saying, listen, this is who you are. You're kind of a loser, right? We all mess up, we all sin. I'm a loser. Anyway. And now you need to become this cool person that people love, have this bank balance, be healthy, and then I will shine my face upon you. God is standing here and he's just with his arms wide open and he's saying, listen, I've already accepted you. I've just been waiting this many years or this many days or this how long for you to just get over yourself and to accept me? How long will it take for you to see that nothing this world has to offer will satisfy except my presence, because I created you? You are my son, I'm your father, and I want us to be together. Yes, you are a sinner, but you know what? That's why I gave myself. So that sin is paid for. All of our sin, it was in the future when Jesus died, right? So all of our sins are paid for. All we need to do is respond to who Christ is so that we can get to know what it is like to be a son and a daughter. And now I want to get back to Brian over there. Brian shared in his testimony saying that, you know, after he received Christ, Christ immediately delivered him from the addiction of drugs and all those things. God completely delivered him in the moment. So, and then he said he quit corn. Right? That's what he said, in case you missed it. He quit corn. Corn is really not a good band, for those of you who are wondering. Or they weren't as good. It's a heavy metal band, guys with dreads, tattoos, you know. Great. So God called him to leave corn. That testimony was made, I'm not exactly sure, about 2.5 years or 3 years ago. Guess what Brian is doing currently? He's playing in corn. Head Brian Welch again is the lead guitarist of Korn. But now you're saying, oh, this is a fake testimony. Why? What? You know what the reason he's back there? God told him to go back to Korn. Brian's friend is also in the band. His name is Fieldy, I think. He is also saved. He received Christ. Amazing, crazy testimony. You can go look it up. So both of them are Christians, as you and I. But they're playing in this heavy metal tattooed dreadlocks band. Why? Because God said they must go back. But let me tell you the difference. No longer are they playing in it for the sex or for the fame or for the cars or the money. They're playing in it for the glory of God. You know what they do before and after the shows? You know, people, they pack out stadiums. That's like 40, 60,000 of people going there to watch them. You know, play, right? So what they do is before and after the show, they pray for people. So since they've gone back into corn, thousands of people have come to salvation and they get healed right there before and after the show. Crazy, right? You're like, yes, I didn't know that God was at a metal concert. Yes, he is. How is God at a metal concert? Through Brian and Fieldy. With those people who have received salvation, if Brian and Fieldy didn't go back to corn, perhaps in a different way, but I would make the majority assumption to say, perhaps not. Who of you would make the decision to go to a corn concert to go and get saved? None of us, right? Like, no. And I guarantee you, none of those people either. So they are reaching a multitude, like thousands of people per night, just by, you know, playing guitar, but to do it for the glory of God. Is there pity here tonight? No pity. I'm waiting for the Sunday for pity to come. And it would be really awesome if his name is Pity. He's saying, hey church, you know what? I went to the dentist on Tuesday, and I got saved. Right? Hello, is there a quiz here tonight? I don't have a pity in quiz. We always use them. But I'm waiting for the day that quiz will come here. Listen, hey church, he throws in a couple of swear words. I went to Hatfield Square on Friday night just to get drunk and to puke my face off. And you know what? I was sitting there, was a Christian next to me, and he was actually drinking another beer. But we were talking about Jesus, and I met Jesus, and I gave my life to Jesus. And you know what, guys? Swearing a couple of, I'm in church, right? Woo! Who wants to see Pity and Kirsty standing here? Some of us. That's great. The rest we will pray for. We're going to pray for a lot of people tonight. I don't know if you noticed in Brian's testimony as well, But how did he come to salvation? His real estate broker took the courage to share a plain and simple scripture with him. That made Brian go to his Bible, take it apart, and cause him to go to church. So Brian came to salvation because of his pastor, a real estate broker. So what does it look like, us being sons and daughters of God? Should we all work for the church office? Please, Lord, no. But it is that whatever we're studying, whatever it is we do, we need to stop doing it for whatever reason it is we're doing it. But above the money, above the success, all those things are amazing. I love money and I love being successful. I really do. Who wants to do something and suck at it? No one. But to above and beyond those reasons to say, Lord, I want to do it primarily for the glory of who you are. God, I want, yes, my CEO, Lord, he... Yes, Lord, my CEO, God, let's just get him saved. I'm waiting for the day for John Hamblewood, the CEO of Eskom. Yes, Eskom, to stand here and to get saved. And then for John Hamblewood, I have no idea how I got to the name. But for him, then, let's say for Eskom, to run his business for the glory of God. Load shedding problems are over, right? I don't think that business model is giving God much glory at the moment. You'd agree with me, right? If you're working here with Eskom, I'm sure you would agree with me. So no hard feelings, right? Hallelujah. But I believe that is how the world, that is how the business sphere, that is how lecture rooms and lecturers and churches will be changed. And as if we, just like the real estate broker, just be courageous and see this person in our circles who we meet with and just like, yes, this guy is just, he's, Lord, this guy is the furthest away from you like ever. Like Barabbas, he's got no comparison to this guy, Lord. And you just say, Lord, but give me a scripture to share with him. And God, then you do whatever you want to do, Lord. That is what God expects of us. You would agree with me if it is like completely light and sunlight outside, there's no need for us to put a light on outside, right? No need for Eskom in the day, right? Except if you want to watch TV. The same way God has called us, if we accept Him as His sons and daughters, to be what? A light and salt of the earth. So we need to be the light in the darkness. Is there a need for light in light? No, there's a need for light in darkness. So God didn't save us. God didn't call us to salvation. And then in that moment of salvation, He zaps us out of heaven so we are with Him instantly. I don't know if that happened with any one of you. Why are you back? Right? That didn't happen. Because God calls to preserve us in this world. That means He wants to strengthen us as a light so we can remain in the darkness, but to change the darkness. There's no battle between light and darkness. The moment we switched on these lights, the darkness was gone. It didn't take like 24 minutes because the darkness is trying to kill the bulb and then they go out. It's crazy how I think about the light and darkness sometimes. Jesus has overcome. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us salvation so that we can be the lights in the world, in this dark, horrible world, so that we can change our CEOs, we can change our friend, our neighbor, our lecturer, our student buddy, our roommate, our circumstances. So that perhaps just by sharing a portion of scripture, we can get someone to salvation, just like Brian, who's influencing hundreds and thousands of people. He just shared a portion of scripture with him and invited him to church. Now, I'm not saying that is like the best and only model, but I think it's better than doing nothing. Let's just share a scripture with a person and invite them to church. If they don't come, we can ask God what to do then. In this exact similar way, that is what we look like as Christians. Not all of us stand in the office as pastors or apostles or teachers, but we stand in the office of a Christian. As we are engineers, as we are teachers. I think teachers have like one of the best jobs. Not only do do we get like long holidays over the year. But you get to influence the next generation. That is amazing. And I'm also waiting for the day for like 50 kids to come to church and say, hey, my teacher caused us to meet Jesus. Yes, I know there's a bunch of red tape and political stuff and the same with doctors and all those things. But I just ask myself the question, what would Jesus do if he was there? So God has called each and every single one of us in our professions, in what we do, to just be the light. To share who Jesus is. And even if we just share a portion of scripture with this one guy, gets drunk every day, that's the perfect guy to go. You know, if I just look back into my life, some of the best people I've had the privilege to disciple, who I like, not that I say that I don't love the rest, but the guys that I really love more, that I have so much more fun engaging with and that bear the much fruit, are all the people that I was like, Lord, this guy will never get saved. Like, not this guy. I'm sure we all have someone like that in our lives, but even perhaps someone in our families. I've got that as well. But it's exactly those people that we just need to take the courage and to be like, Lord, you called me to be exactly this light in this dark situation right now. Romans 6, verse 10. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Ben, will you quickly come to the front for me? Like the band, can you quickly come to the front for me? No band in the house. Tian. Great. We are no longer under law, but under grace. As I said earlier, it is by grace we have been saved. I want us all to stand to our feet. And let's close our eyes. Let's forget about the person next to us. Let's listen to, they're going to start playing now. Let's listen to the music. And you know what? God is right here in this very place tonight. And he knows exactly what your name is. He knows how many hair you've got in your head. He knows your problems. He knows your issues. Do you know what? God doesn't look to any of those things. He just looks to your heart. He looks to the way he created you with his own hands, how he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. God knew you. So God knows all of us. And God is right here tonight. He's not holding any accusation, not any guilt, no condemnation against us. He's not saying, listen, guys, I quickly want you to sort out your acts before I show you myself. God has shown himself. And I'm sure that whatever situation or circumstances, even the last 3 weeks perhaps in your life, you've just been experiencing God in a completely new and different way. The very reason you are here is because of that. You know what it is? As much as your friend perhaps invited you, it is not because of their doing, it's because of God drawing you closer to him. And right now is an opportunity to respond to the call of God. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, not a single one of us. It's just a reality. So God is placing a decision in front of all of us, saying, listen, I've been drawing you, but I need you to choose me above whatever it is you want to fill in the gap. So if you are standing here, we can all just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if that is you here tonight, and you've never or perhaps you've been so long and perhaps you've never met Christ for real, and you just want to say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to give you my life, Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I want to choose you right now.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.